We now begin a new Masechta, Maseches Orla. The word Orla, Rashi says, means Atum and Satum. Atum means sealed off, as in the modern Hebrew, Cheder Atum. You have your bomb shelter room that's sealed off so no gas can get inside. And Satum is is blocked, as in a stima, is a blockage. Like if a pipe has a stima, it's blocked. So this is referring, in the context of our Masechta, as fruit. In its first 3 years that it grows on a tree, it's blocked off, it's sealed off, it's forbidden for consumption, and actually not just for consumption, but actually even for any benefit. If there's an isser hana, a prohibition against any getting any benefit from the first 3 years of fruit from a fruit tree. The entire Masechta deals with that topic and the more general topic of tarovus, of mixtures, and that's because for something that's prohibited, an isser, to be not just forbidden for consumption, but actually asr bahana, forbidden to get any benefit from, is fairly unusual in the Torah. It does exist. We had it already in Kilai HaKerem. We talked about how if you have grains or greens planted in a vineyard back in Maseches Kilaim, so then if they grow together, then the grains or greens and the vines have to be burned. They're asr bahana, and that's similar to the case here of Orla. And there are a few other examples as well of that in the Torah, the basar b'chalav, meat and milk cooked together, is asar b'hana. The contents of the ir hanidachas, the city that was turned to idolatry, its contents are asar b'hana. Avodah Zarah itself, an idol, is asar b'hana. But that's pretty much the whole list. It's not a very long list. And that being the case, just as we saw back in Maseches Kilaim, we talked about the Isser Hana that applies to Kilai HaKerem, the normal rules of mixtures, meaning that usually you need to have simply Midoraisa, the Torah requires just a simple majority, Rov. And in the case where you have Ta'am, when you have a transfer of taste, you might need 60 times against. But more than that, typically, if you have 60 times of permitted substance against a forbidden substance in a mixture, the whole mixture becomes permitted. However, because Orla, like Kilai HaKerem, is not just forbidden to eat, but it's actually asr bahana, it's forbidden to get any benefit from. So the rabbis upped the standard not to 60 times, but to 200 times. We saw back in Trumas 100 times for Truma for whatever reasons, but this is the most. 200 times is pretty much the max, the highest required ratio, except of course for things which are never butl in any amount. So we will discuss for much of the Masechta the halachas that apply to tarovos mixtures in general. This is the source for that. It's fascinating stuff. But the primary theme, of course, is Orla, this fruit in its first 3 years. Now, the basis of this entire mitzvah and the whole Masechta, essentially, boils down to one pasuk. That pasuk is in Vayikra, in Perek Chav Gimel, chapter 23. Excuse me. Perek Yotes, pasuk Chav Gimel. It's 19, chapter 19, verse 23, where it says, V'chi savo el ha'aretz, when you come to the land, unatatem kol eitz ma'achal, va'araltem orloso es pirio, and you plant any tree for eating, meaning a fruit-bearing tree, you will treat its fruit as orla. Again, an unusual choice of words, really. It means blocked off and forbidden to you. Shalosh shanim yelachem orelim, for 3 years it will be blocked off, forbidden to you, asr bahana. And during that time, lo ye'achel, you may not eat from the tree. The next pasuk already moves on to fourth year fruits, which we discussed back in Maaser Sheni, the halachas of Neta Ravai. Uveshana haravias ye kol pirio kodesh ilulam Lashem. In the fourth year, it's sanctified produce for praising Hashem. And then the next pasuk says, uveshana chamishes, when it comes to the fifth year, tochlu es pirio lahosif lachem tvoaso ani Hashem elokeichem. It's already free for you to consume as you wish in the fifth year, and so keeping these halachas, Hashem promises that our crops will increase. Okay, so that's the source for the whole Masechta and Orla. Let's just go over a basic introduction to these the basic principles as learned from those pesukim, etc. So first of all, you see that we're talking here about a tree. Orla applies specifically to trees, and that means essentially the same as the halachas of brachos go. We differentiate between agricultural produce that gets a brei priya eitz and other kinds of agricultural produce. So those same differentiation will apply here. Essentially, loosely speaking, where you make a brie pre-8, those are the kind of things that are subject to the oral requirements. So the definition of a tree to meet those requirements to get the brie pre-8 bracha is actually a bit of a machlokas in the Rishonim. Beis Yosef brings two shitas. The first shita, which is the shita of the Rosh, says that any plant that you don't have to replant in a subsequent year to get another crop, meaning once you've planted it once, it just keeps on growing and producing fruit year after year, that is considered to be a brie pre-8, and similarly that would then apply for Orla. However, the Mordechai disagrees. Mordechai requires that it's not just that the root stock stays there year after year, but also that it has like a woody stem above ground that also lasts from year to year, and from that stem that lasts from year to year, the fruit comes thereafter. So according to that second opinion, which is the halacha, certain things which kind of look like trees, most famously, I think, most well known, are the banana and the pineapple, since when it comes to a banana, that truncle, which comes out of the base of the roots, it produces bananas for 1 year, but then it dies and a new one grows out the middle. So bananas are brei pri adama, and bananas are not subject to the halachas of Orla. The same goes for pineapples. Similarly, certain plants, say like a strawberry, who the Rosh would say, since you don't replant it year after year, actually gets a brei pri eitz, surprisingly. But we do not do that. We do not make a brei pri eitz, we make an adama on the strawberry. And similarly, the strawberry, since it has no perennial woody stem in the middle, isn't subject to the halachas of Orla. Okay, there is some nuanced differences I don't want to get into right now, to be honest. Papaya, for sure, not subject to Orla. But certain berries, which grow on bushes, the minhag seems to be to make a brei pri ha'adama on them, like raspberries and blackberries. But it's also pasha that a raspberry blackberry isn't really a tree, even though it grows on a bush. So that's more complicated and beyond the scope of this. Share here if you actually have a question about what to do with your blackberries or raspberries, you should ask a Rav about Orla, etc. Okay, now, the second important thing to discuss, besides for what we're talking about here, is types of trees, is what part of the plant. The Mishnah makes it clear, as the Pasuk does, that we're talking about the fruit, and that means it's the fruits that are forbidden, but not, let's say, the leaves or the flowers or the wood. There's no restriction to Orla in its first 3 years of taking wood from a tree and making firewood, or, you know, I don't know, what taking its, whatever, its leaves and making some jewelry or something like that. That's not a problem. And it's just the fruit proper. Of course, the fruit includes the shomer, the parts of the fruit that are not edible but protect the fruit, like the peel and so, those are included. The other big question to just make clear before we begin the Masechta is how we count these 3 years. It's not as simple as you might think. It's not that a plant has a birthday and after, you know, on the third anniversary of its being planted or something, it's no longer Orla. Nope. If you recall from Masechta's Rosh Hashanah, the trees have their own private fiscal year, their own Rosh Hashanah. In fact, they have two. There's a Rosh Hashanah for Natios, which are young saplings, immature trees, and a separate Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos, for mature trees. The Rosh Hashanah for a freshly planted tree, a Natia, is we call Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, whereas the Rosh Hashanah for an Ilan, a mature tree, is Tu B'Shvat. So let's discuss that for a moment here. The basic idea is that we count, to be speak loosely for a second, I'll clarify more in a minute, how many Rosh Hashanahs this plant has gone through. So if you plant a tree mid-year, when the first Rosh Hashanah hits, so now it's entering into its second year. And when the second Rosh Hashanah hits, it's entered into its third year. And when the next Rosh Hashanah hits, it's now left a third year into its fourth year, and we'd be moving out of the Orla restrictions. But let me just clarify. For the first year to count as a whole year, the plant has to at least have been rooted in the ground for 30 days. And for a plant to take root, it takes some time. I mean, when you put a seed in the ground, It takes some time for that seed to take root, and we paskin that under normal circumstances, unless you know otherwise, it's 14 days to take root. You might recall that there's a machlokas we've seen a couple times in the Mishnah already, if it's 3 days, 14 days, or 30 days to take root. But in any case, the halacha is 14 days, so that means that if you want to have a truncated, shortened first year for your tree, so as long as you plant it with enough time that it can have 14 days to take root, and then 30 days in the ground once it's taken root, all before Rosh Hashanah. So when the first Rosh Hashanah, meaning the first of Tishrei, arrives, the tree will now already begin its second year in the oral account. So that means if you do the math, basically you have to plant the tree 14 days before, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. 30 days before Rosh Hashanah is, let's say, the 30th of Av, okay, because you have a month of El in between, and 14 days before that will bring you to either Tes Zayin or Tes Vav of Av, Tu B'Av, the 15th or 16th of Av. It depends on if you count the partial day as a whole day or not, which is a separate discussion. But in any case, if you plant it by Tu B'Av, by the 15th of Av, you for sure will have enough time that it will have taken root in 14 days and been in the ground for 30 full days, and then you will be able to count that first year as the first year of your Orla. Then, till the next Rosh Hashanah, is the second year, so the next Rosh Hashanah is the third year. and at that point, your plant's entering its fourth year, but, and this is a little bit counterintuitive, since the plant has now stopped being a natia, and now is called an ilan, a more mature tree, again, just to clarify, the word eitz, referring to tree, refers to a tree in general, but we differentiate, the Mishnahs differentiate, between a natia, a young tree, and an ilan, a more mature tree. So, once our tree has entered, has passed through its third Rosh Hashanah, it's graduated from being an atiya to being an ilan. And as counterintuitive as it may seem, the Mishnah gives a new Rosh Hashanah for ilanot, sort of moving the goalposts and saying the birthday doesn't happen for another 4.5 months until we get to Shvat, Tu B'Shvat. So that means that while, if you will, an example I gave before, your tree's first year is ultimately just basically a month and a half, could be as short as a month and a half if you plant it in the middle of Av, and the second year will be 12 months as a normal year. The third year will be extended. It won't be 12 months. It'll be 12 months from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, plus another 4.5 months till Tu B'Shvat. And at that point, your tree will have passed through its third year as a now of mature ilan, and any fruits which have chanata, which blossom, I'll call it loosely speaking for a second, after that point, after Tu B'Shvat, now belong to the fourth year, and they're totally out of the orla restriction. They might be subject to the fourth year netzer avai requirements, but that's a different topic. Orla is no longer applicable. Okay, so that means, just sort of saying it in different words to make sure the concept is clear, if you want to minimize the number of months you'd have to wait from when you plant your apple tree, let's say, until it stops being restricted by Orla. So you could plant it essentially 1.5 months before the end of the what we call Rosh Hashanah. Then you'd have 12 months for the second year. You'd have 12 months for the third year, but then since the goalposts move, you need 4.5 more months from the beginning of Tishrei till the middle of Shvat, which means that while the first year will be just 1.5 months, that third last year will be not 12, but actually 12 plus 4.5, or 16.5 months. If you do the math, you have 1.5 for the first, 12 for the middle, and 16.5 for the third, for a total of roughly 30 months. So you could compress it to as little as 30 months, from when you first put the seed in the ground to when the produce, the fruit from the tree, is no longer orla. If a person plants the seed... chanata for a second. So that means, just to clarify this point, hypothetically, if in that third year, after the beginning of the fourth year, I'll call it now, if after that third Rosh Hashanah, but before Tu B'Shvat, fruits begin to grow, those fruits are still restricted as Orla. The definition for when a fruit starts to grow is chanata throughout the Torah. And chanata, while subject to a bit of controversy, we'll define it simply as when the petals of the flower in which the fruit was fertilized and is beginning to grow, when those petals fall off, that's called chanata. So as long as that happens after Tu B'Shvat of that fourth year, so then your fruit is permitted. If it happens before Tu B'Shvat, it's not permitted. The Rosh says, and experience is such, that in Israel, and certainly further north, like the Rosh, where the Rosh was in Germany, etc., as a matter of practice, fruit trees do not blossom in the wintertime, and therefore there's not much likelihood, there's no real scenario where normal trees would start blossoming and having chanata prior to Tu B'Shvat, which ends up being like, you know, in February sometime. But it could be nogea, for argument's sake, in the southern hemisphere, in Australia, etc. Okay, so that's how the counting works. Now, if you planted your tree within 44 days of the first of Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah, so then that first year won't count. And ironically, instead of having a very truncated year and a half, excuse me, month and a half long first year, you'll have a protracted and extended first year, which will actually last more than 12 months. In other words, for argument's sake, if you planted your tree on the first day of Elul, so you won't have requisite time in the ground, and therefore your tree won't enter its second year for the Orla count until not 12, but 13 months, all of Elul plus then another 12 months. So that will be year one. Then, of course, 12 months get you through year two. Then 12 months get you through year three. So that adds for a total of 12 plus 12 plus 13, gives you 37 months. Okay? Now, at that point, as it happens, there's a machlokas rishonim. If now the first of Tishrei, Elul, excuse me, of the first of Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah, will count now as the beginning of the fourth year, or if you have to again have to wait until Tu B'Shvat, the Rambam says, no, you don't. He says that kind of 37-month scenario is sufficient, whereas others say no, like in the previous scenario I described, you need to now, that you have an Ilan, wait until Tu B'Shvat, so it could not be 37 months, but now you're talking, like, say, 41 and a half months, till it enters its fourth year. That's a machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch brings the Rambam, and then brings a Yesh Omrim, like another second opinion, that says you have to be strict and wait till Tu B'Shvat of that fourth year. In practice, again, I told you, it's not really such a big deal in the Northern Hemisphere in Israel, because no plants are really blossoming that early. But in any case, the Chazon Ish paskens l'halacha in Eretz Yisrael, you should be machmir, and treat anything that has chanata, that blossoms prior to Tu B'Shvat of that fourth year, to be restricted by Orla. Now that brings us to the topic of Chutz La'aretz. One can be lenient in Chutz La'aretz, in such a scenario like I described, but that tells you one thing that I haven't set out, which is that the halachas of Orla apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. So interestingly, the halachas of Orla apply in Eretz Yisrael mid'oraisa. In Israel, they are really a Torah requirement, even bizman hazeh, even nowadays, although it's most of the mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, most of the agriculturally based, Eretz Yisrael based mitzvahs, for the most part, are not in effect now mid'oraisa, because the majority of the Jews aren't in Israel, and some other reasons perhaps as well. We just got finished learning challah, where we said even if the Jews were back in Israel, challah would still be. We just finished Maseches challah, where we said that even if one holds that truma samayshos are chayv, midoraisa nowadays, still challah wouldn't, because challah still doesn't have the majority of Jews back in Israel, so challah is not a doraisa here. On the flip side, here in Orla is a doraisa mitzvah and applicable midoraisa nowadays, even with the Jews not being majority back in Israel. Now that's based on the Pesukim. What's fascinating is the halachas of challah also apply midoraisa in Chutz La'aretz, out that very Yisrael. But what's really fascinating is that there's no mention of that in the Pesukim. It's not in the verses. It's rather a tradition we have going back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, called the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai that Orla is forbidden even out of the Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Now, what's curious is that this Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, this tradition we have, comes with a caveat. There's a caveat built into the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which is that Safek Orla, if you're not sure about a fruit status, whether it's Orla or not, in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, is permissible. So that's not a suffix, it's simple, it's a din. If it's meaning if it is Safek Orla and Chutznarts, it is permissible. Fascinatingly, in Eretz Yisrael, Safek Orla has the usual rules of Sveikas, of doubts, and that's beyond what I want to discuss right now. Okay? So that's where it applies, in Eretz Yisrael and out of Eretz Yisrael. A few other loose ends I just want to speak out here. The Isser of Orla is applying, as we said, just the fruit, but not to the plant. It also only applies to trees that were planted for the sake of bearing fruit. But if you planted wood, a tree for the sake of, let's say, it's lumber, you want to just make wood out of it, or you're using it as, say, a hedge around your vineyard, let's say. So then, if you planted it just for the sake of making a hedge, and it happens to grow fruit, those fruits are not restricted by the halachas of Orla. Okay? Also worth speaking out here is that the restrictions of the Isser Hana, the prohibitions against getting benefit from the fruits, means that you couldn't, say, feed it to your animals, because that's getting benefit. You couldn't barter it. You certainly can't sell it. You can't burn it and then use it as, like, you know, you can't take, let's say, olive oil in a sphere for 3 years and use the oil for lighting up your house. All that stuff would be totally forbidden as under the restrictions of Isser Hana. Okay, and I think with that, we are ready to begin the Masechta in earnest. So let's go.